Welcome to Balance Your Life, a podcast designed to motivate you to begin and maintain your health and wellness journey. My name is Megan Farrell. I'm the creator of the Balance by Megan brand, host of this podcast, yoga enthusiast and teacher, motivational and lifestyle speaker, and blogger. I love inspiring and empowering others to live a more positive, successful, healthier, and happier lifestyle. If this sounds like you, you're in the right place. Let's do this. Happy Monday, everyone. I'm Megan Farrell. I'm the host of this podcast, creator of Balance by Megan, online and international yoga teacher. Before we dive into this week's podcast episode, a few quick announcements. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by my free monthly playlist. Each month, I'll release a themed playlist that you get to follow in the comfort of your home. This month's theme is release. You can print off the calendar if you'd like, or just follow along online with my daily yoga videos on YouTube. Link to practice with me will be in the show notes. Amanda and I still have a few spots left for our Costa Rica retreat. If you haven't heard yet, I am co-hosting a yoga retreat for entrepreneurs and wellness professionals with Amanda Kingsmith from Mastering the Business of Yoga. Amanda is a yoga business coach who specializes in helping budding entrepreneurs begin and grow their yoga and wellness business. And myself, yoga business owner, international teacher, and podcast host. We created this yoga retreat as a way to bring together like-minded individuals and to teach you valuable business lessons and skills while in paradise. We have changed the location of the retreat to make this retreat more affordable and is now being held at the beautiful Paradise Point. For more information on this incredible retreat opportunity, click the link in the show notes. And I hope to see you in paradise this November. Now on to today's episode. Today's podcast guest is Katie Bushy. Katie is a psycho practitioner mixing traditional psychology practices with holistic and spiritual mediums. She works with veterans and first responders and their families. Katie is well known across Ontario as a guest speaker and teacher and writes for many online magazines and blogs. Without further ado, please welcome to the podcast, Katie Bushy from LifeSpark Holistic. Katie, welcome to the show.
So good to be here, Megan. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So we have a lot of international listeners here. So can you let everyone know where you are calling in from today?
For sure. So kind of narrowing it down in Canada, going down a little further in that, Ontario. And I'm just located outside of our main capital here in Ontario, which is Toronto. So I live about 45 minutes east of Toronto in a little suburb known as Whitby.
Nice. Yeah, you're so close to me. Perfect. So I want to dive right in. How did your yoga journey start for you?
So actually, my yoga journey started, let's say, about 15, 20 years ago when I was deep in what I thought was my life purpose as a social worker and a youth worker. And it was through the work that I was doing with our communities in Toronto, working with youth that were living on the street, young offenders, and those that were within the care of Children's Aid, that I started to burn out big time. And I started going and seeking alternatives so that I could show up and be the powerful worker that I knew I could be. And through many different streams of possibility, I came to yoga and I landed on the mat. And it was there that I found that in those, that space on your yoga mat, there was profound ahas, and things that were always humming inside of me really came to the surface about who I was here to be and what the yoga mat and yoga could create for both myself and what I now know our community.
I love that so much. And I kind of want to go two different ways with that, because I
worked very, very briefly in a similar field, and I worked in a rape crisis center, and I burnt out very, very fast. How long were you in the industry for?
I was actually in for 15 years, and it was 3 years ago that I really came to understand that I wasn't in purpose anymore being in the field, and that I could take my tools and I could take my learnings on the mat and I could continue to empower communities just in a different format and in a different way. And it was there that I retired. I retired at 35 from social work, and I came into being what I now know as my life purpose, which is LifeSpark. So if we can talk a little bit about LifeSpark in a bit.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited to get into that. I think what you're doing is absolutely amazing. And we only met very, very briefly, but I absolutely fell in love with your energy. I follow you online and I see all the cool things you're doing. From working in that field too, I can really respect and understand how much these first responders and people in this industry need yoga. So I'm so excited to dive into that a little bit more too. From a personal perspective, did you join yoga at a studio? Was it somebody you knew offering it locally? How did you get your door get into the door of yoga?
It kind of makes me chuckle a little bit. I've found that when I'm receptive and open to anything and everything in my life, personally and professionally, things literally fall in front of me. And I had come to a point in my journey of healing after being on medication, after doing counseling alongside of the youth and the communities that I was working with. I said, there has to be something else here. Like I'm hitting a wall and I'm in my early 20s. And literally, a friend of mine said, hey, I'm going out to this yoga class in Whitby, just downtown, 5 minutes from where I live now, and said, why don't you come check it out? And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go. And it was the form of Ashtanga. And if anyone knows yoga, Ashtanga is not necessarily the practice for a brand new yogi to jump on the mat because it's intense. It's power yoga. It is like, it kicks your butt. And I fell in love with that. So the answer to your question was, yeah, I declared it. I put it out there. A friend knocked on my door and said, hey, I'm checking out this class 5 minutes down the street. Let's go. And I'm like, all right.
I love that you started with Ashtanga. It's so good. So I came from a power background too. I was like, yeah, I want to sweat. I wanted to make it a workout. And a lot of the people I speak to are like, oh yeah, I went to restorative or a gentle class. I was like, no, we're sweating. Let's do this. And Ashtanga, I mentored under an Ashtanga yoga teacher, and oh my God, I thought I was like, I'm like, I'm fit, I can hold my own. And you go to one of those classes and you're like, oh my God, what is this?
And it's really funny that you bring it up because yeah, I landed on the mat doing Ashtanga, and 5 years ago I had my left knee rebuilt after many, many moons of surgeries to try to figure out what was going on. And I was what I thought was forced to have to slow down. So I got into yin and I got into restorative. And I remember saying to my mentor, I can't do this. It's too slow. This is not challenging. I'm being punished. What is up? And now I've come to understand slowing down to speed up is where it's at. And to tell you the truth, that's where I now practice from. I don't practice from power. I practice from that stillness, and moving into gentle postures that inspire the internal conversation.
Yeah, no, it's I the more we talk, the more I'm like, wow, we have so much in common because I have very much found myself gravitating towards yin and more of a quieter or meditative practice. I still like twice a week I try to fit in like a power vinyasa or a power flow. I do like the workout aspect, but it's amazing for me. I was so like I had to do yin as part of my 200-hour training, and I was like, nope, I'm not doing this. I don't like it. I was like, I don't understand the point of it. You're just sitting there. And now it's like one of my favorite practices to do. So I relate to that so much. So how long were you a student of yoga before you decided that you wanted to start teaching it?
Well, I've been a student for overall 15 to 20 years now, with a little bit of time off, of course, with surgery and just how life is. So I would say a good core 10 years of being a student, and I've been teaching a core, let's say 6 and a bit years on the mat again, with a little bit of time off and a little bit of self-discovery.
Wow, that's amazing. That's incredible. When you started to teach it, how did you kind of discover who that you wanted to teach first responders and veterans? And I know you do a variety of other teachings, but what led you down that path?
For sure. So obviously with my background in psychology and working with those that have overcome or are moving through trauma, I was seeing a lot of that on the mat. And on top of that, I've had some very amazing, beautiful friends who have been in service here with our Canadian military, who have gone off into wars before I was born, as well as current wars or conflicts in the Middle East. And they came back very much not their vibrant selves. Mm-hmm. And were really knocking on my door, having those friend conversations saying, hey, something's not right. The medication isn't working. I'm falling into darkness. What is this yoga thing you're doing? And I shared with them kind of what was going on. And at that time, I started having conversations in our local community of Durham with fellow caregivers, so wives, spouses, and children of veterans and active service members, as well as first responders. And they were also talking about that there was a gap in services for them. And one amazing woman, Andrea, I just can't wait to share this podcast with her, has been a huge inspiration, because she took her battles of being a spouse of someone who has actively served overseas in the 80s and created retreats for veterans and first responders and their community, and both on and off base up in Trenton. And she asked me to come and be a part of it. And that's kind of where I was able to bridge that gap of what was going on and what's not going on and how we're servicing and how we're not servicing our first responders, our veterans, and our military.
I think that's incredibly powerful. And I love that they came to you. And I'm curious, did they come to you because they saw the change that you had made and were like, I want whatever she's doing?
Wow, that's a really good question. And to tell you the truth, Megan, I haven't dug into that. And maybe I need to dig into that. Again, it kind of goes back to the story of I'm digging around it in my 20s going, there has to be something more. And when I made that declare that I wanted something outside of the traditional senses of support for myself, those came and showed up. I got into conversations for a good 9 or 10 months with those in my life that were veterans and first responders. And next you know it, Andrea shows up and says, through many different conversations, both just surface level and deeper, she's kind of saying to me, you've got something that I'd like to bring up to Trenton, and I've got a story that needs to be shared. How can we do this together? And that got me fired up.
Yeah, that's amazing. Before I took this journey of yogi, entrepreneur, and all of that, I worked with a lot of police officers. My grandfather was a former police officer, and I was so passionate about talking to them about yoga. And for me, perhaps it was just the generation, perhaps it was just the mindset, but I found the people I was speaking to, like, they just didn't get how yoga could make such a difference in them. And I'm like, you can see the difference in me. You know the path that I was on and how I quickly went the other way. There's so much to this. And there was one gentleman who took it up, and he is become like a student of yoga. He absolutely loves the practice, but I find a lot of them, in my experience working with that population, they just, I don't know if they just don't believe that it can help them so much, or if they just like, they want to be the tough guys. And it was a lot of guys that I was handling. So how do you kind of talk to them about the purpose of yoga, or do you kind of say, hey, like, if you're not into this, I'm not even going to try to talk to you about it? It's a loaded question.
Yeah, no, I love it. What's coming up for me right now is that it's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I really always lead from, it's a conversation. Let's dig in. We know that yoga is going to look a little different for everyone. We're not necessarily just talking physically. We're talking what that feels like emotionally, especially when we're working with our first responders and our military. That's an aspect of their body, their emotional body, that there's a disconnect, or maybe there's never been a connection. This past November 2018, I was really blessed to go up to Trenton and train off base in trauma sensitive mindfulness. So, and one of my instructors was an actual veteran living with PTSD, and he was training us on the conversations and what that looks like. And he's gone on to be a trainer across the world when it comes to working with individuals who are looking again for that alternative connection or approach to navigating their journey, whether it's with mental health and PTSD, or if it's dealing with a physical injury that we can actually visually see. So, you know, to touch base back to your question, I just love to talk, by the way. It's a conversation. It really digs into what do you need? What can we fund you in your life? What can we create? What is missing? What do you have? What do we need to add? What do we need to take away? What do we just need to leave as it is? And every time you come to the mat or the chair or your meditation pillow or the couch, it's a new start.
Yeah, I think that's incredible. And I'm so grateful, and I feel so inspired that there are so many people in that background of first responders and military that are open to this, because my experience was that they weren't so much, but I love knowing that there are who are like, you know what, this isn't working for me anymore. I know I need an alternative. Let's give this thing called yoga a go. And that's my whole philosophy, is just be open, just give it a go, just try it, right? What have you got to lose? There's no medication involved. It doesn't necessarily have to cost you anything. There's lots of free options online.
There's definitely a shift happening in our world overall, mm-hmm. but there's also a shift happening within how do we care for ourselves? How do we care for ourselves physically, emotionally, and spiritually? And this is where the call for yoga instructors, mindful practitioners, and everyone in between. I mean, the list is wide and vast. This is a call to really answer it and to step into our purpose so that we can help other individuals find their purpose.
Yes, I couldn't agree more with you about that. So I love how you've led up to this. I want to know, how was Life Spark Holistic born from all this?
Oh, geez, that's the million-dollar question, right? So, so we all know that I was a social worker for 15 years, and I've always been a kooky character, to tell you the truth. You know, I was the one that was always, let's take a breath before we have our staff meeting. I always had crystals that were sitting on my desk where, you know, youth would come in, they needed a break, maybe they didn't have an appointment, and they would just start rummaging through the crystals. So rose quartz and, you know, black tourmaline, and next you know it, and it's not so ironic, they're touching a stone that actually relates to what's going on. And I started to see in my staff teams that I was leading this almost shift of, hey, Katie, do you have a suggestion on a meditation for 5 minutes? And hey, Katie, my back is really killing me right now. Is there any yoga poses that you can support me with? And I started to see that I became a landing spot in this knowledge hub. And I wanted to share that. I mean, one of the generous things that you can ever do in this life is to share. And, you know, 3 years ago, I came to understand that I was done with social work, but I wasn't done with being of service. I wasn't done with supporting and being still that vibration in our communities. So I had LifeSpark humming for a couple of years in the background, previously known as In Love and Miracles. I had done retreats. I had taught yoga underneath that, but there wasn't really a format. I actually had a friend label it as, it's a hobby, Katie. You're in a hobby right now. And I had honestly had killed it off a couple of times because I was always seeking the bigger, better, big girl job title, the bigger money. And I was in that kind of, I'm going to label it ego-centric living. So 3 years ago, I came home from work. I looked at my significant other and I said, something's got to give and it's not going to be me. And I shifted and I really stepped and leaned into LifeSpark, got a new name, and really stepped into it and declared, this is who I am. How can I be of service? And that's when conversations started happening. People started knocking on the door. People who normally would come to me and be like having a 5 minute, coaching conversation were now like, hey, I want to invest in you. I want to invest in your knowledge. And then we started, and then the coaching went onto the mat and turned into workshops and turned into retreats. And then, you know, social media kind of blew up for me. And now I have people that are kind of knocking on the door going, hey, what's going on over here? And I saw this post and kind of like you, Megan, we just vibrated together. You came out, you saw me teach a quirky way of yoga out in the community. And now we're having this conversation. So LifeSpark really started again from a conversation and a vibration of how can I elevate.
That's incredible. I love how it was just, you put it out there that you wanted something more, something to come from it and make it not a hobby, but it does sound like you didn't force anything to come. It just naturally came from your conversations, came from people coming to you and wanting your coaching services or your help. I think that's incredible. So what does Katie and LifeSpark Holistic do as of today?
As of today, in regards to what? Because that's quite a question too. You're hitting me up good, Megan.
I know. It's funny because I have like these ideas of questions I'm going to ask. And then conversation happens. And I'm like, ooh, I want to know more about this. Do you teach regular yoga classes? Are you more in the community? Do you do workshops, retreats? Those kind of things.
Yeah, okay. So I took the summer off from teaching, and I really dived into who I am as a student. So it's an interesting time right now for LifeSpark and even for myself. I've filled up over the last 6 to 8 weeks when we get to the end of August, where I've really shown up for myself and got healing for myself. I really like cleansed myself, got really, really focused, and I've got some awesome collaborations coming up. So I often work with a lot of priority neighborhoods. So just last night launched off a collaboration in Toronto, working with athletes, first responders and their communities. And we're going to be doing that through mindfulness and yoga. I have some pop-up collaborations with multiple police divisions first responder divisions throughout Ontario. And we'll be kicking that off in September with Kawartha Lakes. What else do I have coming up? Wow. I'm just starting to post what's coming up. One-to-one coaching, 75% filled right now to do coaching both face-to-face as well as, you know, through Zoom and online. So moving into wait list around that. And let's just say there's a fall retreat. I didn't do a retreat last year in the sense of, you know, camp away retreat. This year, looking at a fall retreat in October. All I can say is think of a treehouse. Think of getting together with a bunch of friends, hanging out in a treehouse for a couple of days. And then on top of that, I do teach out in the community. Tuesday night, traditionally, I do community yoga to a great group of yogis out in the east side of Whippy.
Amazing. Wow. I know you're so busy. I've seen your social media pop up and I'm like, wow, you are doing so much. That's so, so incredible. I'm curious, just on another personal level, you do mindfulness, it sounds like, you practice yoga. Do you have any other wellness or self-care tips that are non-negotiable for you that you do, if not daily, as often as you can?
For sure. So I know that when my significant other and I decided to merge our lives, there was a non-negotiable that I'd have a room, a space in our house that's just mine. This is my Zen den. So this is where I come. I have all my yoga stuff. I have stuff that inspires me. This is a non-cell phone area. I'm in it right now, actually. The incense are burning. My puppy dog was laying beside me. She's now moved off. And that's a non-negotiable. And it's known that when you come in this room, that this is a space to clear and to be present. You might not like what you hear or experience in this room in regards to if you're meditating or if you're in the practice of mindfulness, but this is a safe space. On top of that, another practice is gratitude. It's a non-negotiable for me. It's something I've gotten really deep into. I'm a student of Gabrielle Bernstein as well as Marianne Williamson. So, and they are teachers of the metaphysical text of A Course in Miracles. And that really talks a lot about being in a space of gratitude. And I journal every morning and every evening holding a space of gratitude. And when I find that I'm really slipping and I'm not in that place of gratitude, I'll take a moment to go off, write it down, acknowledge it, and just hold space of being grateful for things that I agree with and even being grateful for things that I don't agree with. I call it being cheeky, you know, finding space to be grateful for things that didn't work out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you about that. It's a theme that I've seen pop up a lot lately on the podcast as gratitude being a form of self-care for a lot of people. And again, maybe I came into this space, I loved yoga, love the physical part of it, but I wasn't always so open to the more, let's say, the spiritual side of things. And I was like, really? This thing called gratitude, you're telling me that it'll change my life, that I'll be a high vibrant person. I don't get it, but okay. And like meditation, it's something that I do daily now. And I think people who would see me from back in the day when I was in my darker spot would go, like, she's doing what now? She has crystals, she's meditating, she's doing gratitude journaling. But it's a powerful, powerful practice. And like you've said, I can look at a situation now where it might have sucked. I might not have in the moment even found gratitude, but looking back, you go, okay, you know what? It wasn't all that bad, or at least I can find gratitude in knowing, okay, that didn't happen. That sucked. I wanted it in the moment, but maybe that means that there's another door that's opening and I should be grateful for that coming to me.
For me, gratitude creates the space for me to get out of my own way.
Yes.
It's very easy for us to want, but we take our want and we make it into, but I need that car. I need that job. I need. And gratitude really holds me accountable and brings me down to the ground, but at the same time really uplifts me to see things from a bird's perspective. Mm-hmm. I know I have a lot of, especially, and I don't mean to call them out, gentlemen that I work with, especially first responders and our active service members. And even just everyday gents, my dad, I'm going to call him out. My dad, you know, dad, you should be grateful, you know, that this situation happened. And he just looks at me and he's just like, who did I raise? And then he'll come back to me afterwards and he'll just kind of look at me and be like, yeah, I get it. And he's 70 years old. And I get it. Being grateful for something that you've been through, trauma or something that is a stress point for you, it takes a lot of work. And when you get to that place, the profound ahas are yours. And they're not for anyone to say yes, no, maybe to, but they really are a gift. They are really a gift.
I go through the same with my parents. And both of my parents, I would say, are honestly more, they're generally happy people. They're generally that type that see the light, but sometimes I'll say to them, hey, like, you know, maybe we can look at it in this perspective. And you kind of get this look from both of them they'll come back later on and like, okay, I see your point. But in the moment they're like, okay, she's doing her yoga thing again, or her gypsy stuff again. And I'm like, no, like seriously, like let's look at it from this perspective, and they'll come around. But it's not something you can always push onto people. And I've really grown to understand that people need to be open to it themselves. You can't force anybody to do it. All you can do is show up as yourself, and hopefully it rubs off on them and they see it your way, but ultimately it needs to be on their own.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'm curious, do you have, perhaps even for first responders, if you want to go that route, or a military veterans, if somebody is new to the practice of yoga, what advice would you give them?
Wow, that's a great question. I would really encourage and invite them to go out and take a look at the yoga studio when there's not a class going on. So contacting the studio and asking them if they can come in and take a look at the space. Often, a lot of times, I have gotten the feedback that a barrier to going out to access yoga is the unknown. Mm-hmm. So let's take the unknown away. Definitely seeing if you can reach out to the instructor. Asking the instructor any questions that you might have, and knowing that there's no wrong or right, big or small, or embarrassing questions that you can have. The great thing is that we're starting to see a lot of pop-up classes around yoga and mindfulness that are geared towards men only, not only just women.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe digging in with that, and really just letting your instructor know what your needs are. And you can clearly tell them, I don't know what I need. I might need to be on the mat for 5 minutes. I might get up in the middle of the class. Mm-hmm. And just really having an open conversation. Yeah.
I think that's incredible. And I come from the same camp too. Just, I'm very open to people coming to talk to me before or after class. I know that's not always the case with instructors, but find an instructor that resonates with you. If you want to speak to an instructor beforehand and they don't want to, maybe they're not the instructor for you. And I'm also a big believer in trying different forms of yoga. Maybe Ashtanga isn't the way you want to go to start it off, but maybe restorative is. Or maybe you try restorative and you think, hey, no, I want a little bit more flow. I want to move a bit more. So try vinyasa. There are so many different styles of yoga, and I think you need to give it a little bit of time to try it out a few times.
For sure. And definitely we're talking about communities where there already is a community. So going to your community contact within your department or within on and off base, military, family, resource center, and asking, is there already classes set up where I might know individuals in my class, or that there is a trauma sensitive lens being applied. So you know that there already is such an open door policy around, you know, what does the room look like? Can I ask these questions? If I need additional accommodations, if I need additional tools. Yeah. So definitely digging in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Katie, if people want to connect with you, if they want your services, your coaching, they just want to check you out, see what you're up to, what is coming up for you and where can everybody find you?
For sure. So we know social media is the ultimate business card now. So if you'd like to connect on Facebook, I'm located there at Life Spark Holistic Coaching and Wellness. Instagram is one of my favorite places to play, both professionally and personally. I can be found at lifespark_holistic.
Perfect. And if anybody's driving or walking or washing their dog, I've heard it all. I will link all of your handles in our show notes so people can connect with you directly from there. Is there anything else you want to let anybody know about, whether it's a tip that you suggest or a course of action that you swear by?
Ooh, now I'm opening up like my wide toolbox of quotes that I've collected over the last couple of years. So I just really always come to a place of, you know what's best for yourself and you are where you are right now. Whatever's coming up for you in this conversation or other conversations here on the podcast, dig in a little deeper with it. Sometimes the seed gets planted, roll with it and trust and know that you're right where you need to be, whether you agree with it or not.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Katie, for being on the show. I will link everything for you in the show notes so people can connect with you.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody. This is so exciting.
Thank you to my guest, Katie, for being on the show. If you haven't done so already, please take a moment to rate and review the show, as well as share this podcast with others. Your support truly does make a difference in growing the show and this community. Make sure you stop by and say hi on social media. Share it on social by tagging our guest, tag me at Balance by Megan, and the show at BYL Podcast, and take a screenshot of this podcast episode. I'll be sure to share it out on my end as well. With that being said, I hope you have a fantastic rest of your Monday, a fantastic rest of your week, and I will see you next week. Namaste.